Hi, folks. My name is Dr. Amy Perlman. I'm a board-certified urologist with expertise in sexual, hormonal, and genitourinary health. And I have Dr. Hossein Siddiqui here with me today. Dr. Siddiqui, always good to see you.
Same, it's a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. This is a special occasion for us because, as you know, we are presenting. Actually, my medical student, Natalie, you'll meet her later. She presented our data using GLP-1 agonists and sort of looking at testosterone levels in these patients. And so I think this is something, as you know, that is so widely used, this class of medications, and affects so many of our patients day to day. That we found good relevance, and of course the AUA were honored that they selected our abstract for presentation today.
Even though a lot of urologists are not prescribing the GLP-1s, really every urologist needs to know how to manage these patients in our own clinical context. So, talk me through the types of patients that you see in your clinic that are already on these medications. What are they coming to you for in terms of their concerns? And how does your management change if they are or aren't on GLP-1s?
So I would say our management doesn't really change, except that we are very aware of who is on this class of drugs and not, as you know, so very widely prescribed. In my sphere as director of men's health at NYU Langone, I see patients with overweight status who may have male sexual dysfunction as well as infertility. And there are some very interesting findings with regard to this class of drugs. For example, we know that weight loss, which is one of the major reasons patients are getting these drugs, is actually much more prominent in the non-diabetic population. So the non-diabetics that get these drugs have more weight loss than the diabetic population. And then, of course, everybody who has overweight status is affected by the negative effect of that overweight status on, let's say, fertility. People don't know if that is because, for example, if you're very overweight, if the temperature changes for the testes are affecting fertility, or whether there are other hormonal factors. We know about the elevated estradiol levels in those patients because of increased aromatase activity. And so then enter this group of this class of medications. One of the hardest things to sort out, which we're seeing day to day, is whether the benefits that you see, let's say in terms of testosterone levels, in terms of fertility, and there are other studies that have shown this, whether they are because of the weight loss part of this, or whether there are direct effects of these medications. We know that, as an example, when you go on this class of drugs, the sex hormone binding globulin, the SHBG levels increase, and that appears to be independent of weight loss. So whether it's that, whether it's their antioxidative effects affecting sperm parameters, so all of these things are evolving. And our study, again, we're fortunate that we're collaborating with the endocrine group at NYU, and they have a large number of patients on GLP-1 agonists as well. So we looked at some of those effects. Is there an increase in testosterone? Is it related to weight loss or not? You know, it's still very early. We have few patients, but the numbers are going. At this time, the preliminary numbers suggest that the testosterone effects may be independent of weight loss. In other words, yes, there's definite weight loss, but there seems to be an independent effect of these drugs. And it kind of makes sense because we know, for example, that there are GLP-1 receptors on dendritic cells in the testis, on the Sertoli cells. So again, work is evolving, but as you said, Amy, there are so many patients who are on these drugs that I think more data, more applicability.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in the infertility space, we know that being overweight is a problem for fertility. And first-line therapy for literally every single chronic condition is a lifestyle modification.
Yes.
So these medications could potentially be revolutionary or play a larger role in just the algorithm of infertility.
100%. And again, there have been some studies looking at the effect of these drugs on semen parameters. Most of them show that those effects are only maintained as long as the weight loss is maintained. That once the weight loss effect is lost, the benefits are lost. But there are also other studies that seem to show possible independent improvements in gonadotropins. And as I mentioned earlier, elevated SHBG levels, which can affect testosterone levels, which then can have a positive effect on semen parameters as well. So work in development. I just know that we need more data, more information, but applicable to the whole world, really.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other fascinating piece is when someone is put on a GLP-1, like what other education or lifestyle, you know, factors could be at play? I know in our practice, and I don't know what the practice is with endocrinology at your institution, but when someone's put on a GLP-1, they're educated on how much protein they should be eating. They're educated on the importance of stimulating muscle, right? And so all of those factors can also impact.
And that's so important what you bring up, because we know that when you go on this class of drugs, there is at least some sarcopenia and muscle loss. So not all weight loss is necessarily adipose loss, yeah. Right?
But not from the medications themselves.
Exactly.
It's the educational and lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that, therefore, it is so important, as you said, for them to have adequate protein intake. And maybe the effect of being on testosterone concomitantly is partly protective because you're maintaining some more muscle mass.
Oh, you have to stay tuned for our ASMH session.
Yes, I know.
GLP-1, testosterone.
I know that. Exactly, exactly. So nice talking to you.
So what's your next question that you want to answer in this space of GLP-1?
So what we are actually doing a study,
yeah,
as we speak. We have just gotten the IRB approvals at NYU. We're looking at people who have diabetes and are on this class of drugs, as well as those who don't have diabetes are in this class of drugs, and then those who go on testosterone, and then look at all the parameters of sort of look at these different groups. What are the differential effects in the diabetic population, non-diabetic population, on testosterone, not on testosterone. So a lot of work in progress.
Amazing. So we'll have to stay tuned for AUA 2026
yes.
In DC. Thank you so much.
Pleasure. Good seeing you.
Hi, folks. My name is Dr. Amy Perlman. I'm a board-certified urologist with expertise in sexual, hormonal, and genitourinary health. And I have Natalie Eid with me here today. And she is a medical student. And she just presented her work at the American Urological Association meeting in Las Vegas. Natalie, can you please give us a brief introduction?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Natalie. I'm a third-year medical student at NYU. I'm really interested in sexual medicine and andrology, and I'm excited to present my poster here today.
Awesome. And what got you interested in the field of sexual medicine?
My dad is a urologist who specializes in penile implants, and so I kind of discovered urology through him. And then with great mentors at NYU, I became even more interested. He's Dr. Sadeghi, Dr. Najari, and so I just really love the field.
I love that. So what is it like growing up with a world-famous sexual medicine dad?
Honestly, it didn't really change anything until I got to medical school and I started kind of being interested in urology, and then some people started to know him, but otherwise he was a great dad.
Yeah.
Went to all my swim meets, so didn't change much.
I love it. Awesome. So you just presented your work during a poster session, and I think they called your poster out as like one of the like top 10 out of the group. That's amazing. So what did you look at in this study on GLP-1s?
Yeah, so a lot of studies have shown that GLP-1s are associated with increased testosterone levels in men. But there's a question about whether it's related or independent from weight loss. So we looked at about 60 patients retrospectively who have been on GLP-1 medications and if their testosterone changes were related to their weight loss or independent. We also looked at how it affected some of their sexual function.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's very interesting because in my practice, I have a practice with my twin sister. She's a gastroenterologist. We have a lot of mutual patients. So she's prescribing their GLP-1 receptor agonist medications. And then she's checking their testosterone. It's oftentimes low. She sends them to me. So often in urology, we say, okay, first line therapy for testosterone deficiency is lifestyle modification. It is to lose weight. And so one might say, well, just take the GLP-1 medication, lose weight, then we'll recheck your testosterone. But we don't always see in clinical practice that their testosterone level goes up just because they lost weight. Plus, it's so hard to lose weight when your testosterone level is low. So what would your message be? Like, what were your findings and what would your message be to urology colleagues? Because even if we're not prescribing these GLP-1 medications, our patients are on that.
Yes. So I think our message is kind of twofold. On one hand, if your patients are already on testosterone and they started GLP-1 medication, it can be really important to monitor them because we've seen that GLP-1 can affect testosterone not just through weight loss, but through other mechanisms likely related to GLP-1 receptors in the pituitary or in the testes. And while we're not exactly clear on the mechanism yet, I think it's a really important thing to keep a look at. And the other one is...
So they might have to dose adjust in that sense?
We don't know yet, but people have anecdotally found that their patients that were on testosterone previously, once they started GLP-1 medication, their testosterone levels suddenly shoot up. So I think that's a really important thing to be mindful of for urologists.
Yeah, and I think part of that is because now our patients, when we tell them to lose weight, but now they're on the GLP-1s, now they're actually able to lose weight.
Yeah.
And if they're lifting weights, they're able to gain muscle. And so all of those things can also boost testosterone. But I'll tell you, I mean, I love that you're doing this work in this space because so many people are on these medications. And my most successful patients in my clinical practice are men that are on GLP-1s for my sister, and I put them on testosterone, and they are crushing it.
Yeah.
So then the question becomes, how might our labs, like, what do we need to, are there different labs that we check afterwards? What is our, you know, regimen in terms of, do we have them come in more frequently, less frequently when they're on the combination therapy?
Right.
But there's not a lot of research right now looking at the combination. So yeah. You're really leading the charge on this.
Yeah, and we're excited to do a future study looking at adjunctive testosterone with and without GLP-1s and seeing how that affects our testosterone levels, as well as things like sex hormone binding globulin. Because there's been studies that have shown that GLP-1s can actually affect the gonadotropins rather than just the testosterone.
Thank you so much for discussing your research with us today. It's so good to have medical students at the AUA presenting their work because you all are really the future of our field. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.